Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's September 11th, 2014. Let's get straight into our news tonight. ISIS threat to America, a farce. Now, let me be very clear when I bring up this article. I'm not saying that ISIS doesn't exist. ISIS is a very real threat. They do have real extremists out there killing people on foreign soil, making threats to us here in the United States of America. So, yes, they are real, and they are a definitely imminent threat. Now, with that said, the article points out, as I would like to point out to you, is that ISIS is a manufactured threat. It's controlled opposition. And let's take this example. You guys probably heard the old anecdote about the guy who lived in New York years ago, and he'd run around with a hammer and bust out people's windshields, you know, their side mirrors or whatever. But he'd always do this right under a big sign that said, you know, Bob's Auto Repair, whatever the guy's name was. It just so happened that Bob, the guy with a hammer, owned the auto repair shop. So you'd bust out your window, you look up, oh, Bob has an auto repair shop. Let me go see what he's doing. That's what the U.S. government is doing. We have ISIS, we have Al-Qaeda. We have Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Al-Qaeda in Syria. You know, they break off, they merge together to form ISIS. But keep in mind, we're funding and will continue to fund Syrian rebels in Syria, most of which who aren't even really Syrian. So we have we're running around busting people's windows with Al-Qaeda. And now we have the auto repair shop being the U.S. military to go in there and clean up the problem. And that's what's happening in the United States of America. That's what our foreign policy has degraded to. Now let's hear what Obama had to say about this very important issue.
But I want the American people to understand how this effort will be different from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It will not involve American combat troops fighting on foreign soil.
And you heard him say there, it will not involve American combat troops fighting on foreign soil. Well, that is in direct contradiction to what an NBC reporter put out. He says boots are already on the ground in Iraq. And this is NBC's chief foreign correspondent, Richard Ingall, who says boots are already on the ground in Iraq. He says, I know there are already American boots on the ground where I am now, Ingall told MSNBC News. And he's saying that the troops out there are doing everything possible to avoid the American cameras because you can't have troops on camera in a foreign land when Obama just said, no, there are not going to be any boots on the ground. It's a complete lie, a complete farce. And this is, you know, like I said, this is what this administration has come to. And I'm not saying Bush is a, you know, angel or, you know, Clinton was a sweetie cake, but it's a lot of, you know, just fallacies in the way these guys handle the country. Now let's move on to something else ISIS related. There's this picture floating around the internet. Maybe you guys have seen it. And it claims to show an ISIS militant with an apparent U.S. Army tattoo. Now, I took the Photoshop challenge, and I zoomed in on this image as far as I could go. As you can see from the image, it's already kind of pixelated. So I zoomed in, and I found out that it's definitely not the image that you see to the right of the gentleman. It's not the clear picture that you see there. So you zoom it all the way in using Photoshop or whatever you have, and you find out it's a very similar logo. It looks to me kind of more like the Punisher logo, that black skull logo, than the one to the right. But when I zoomed in on it, I could not make out what the text said in the tattoo. So could it potentially be a U.S. Army tattoo? Yes, that is potentially what it could be. But the skull, to me, looked to be different and also cannot read the text at all. So if you guys have a clearer image of this, you can send that to Infowars.com/show. And something that the people in San Diego need is a clearer picture of militarization of the police. Because we see the schools in San Diego are now being given MRAPs, the military mine-resistant vehicles. And this is in Wake. This is post-Ferguson, Missouri. You know, I was there. Many of the InfoWars crew were there. And we saw the big MRAP vehicles, the guys in the heavy armor, the guys on top of the MRAPs aiming snipers at people, putting sniper dots on their chest. We've shown you those things. The curfew, the tear gas, the rubber bullets, so Joe Biggs got shot by one. All the craziness that went on out there in Ferguson, Missouri. And after that, your police departments, your sheriff's departments, they started to discuss, or at least publicly, to, you know, put a happy face on things. Do we really need all these things in our neighborhoods? And so now, you know, when some departments are saying, hey, we'll get rid of some of these things, Pentagon, come pick these things up. Now you have one of these things going to a school in San Diego, and this is the San Diego Unified School District. Police are receiving mine-resistant ambush protected vehicles, or at least one, as part of the federal government's program to hand down military equipment to domestic law enforcement. And they cite these shootings at Columbine for their actions on doing this. And I understand the need to protect your officers, but like I just said, this whole spectacle of force in Ferguson, Missouri had some people on edge, including myself. And, you know, they use this for Columbine, And I'm sure that at places like Ohio State, where they also got these big military mine-resistant vehicles, they'd cite something like Virginia Tech, right? And I do understand you need some heavy armor, some. You need some rifles, some, you know, trained rifle guys who can handle these situations from a distance, because you're not always in a situation where, you know, your pistol or your shotgun will be effective. I understand that. And also with the armor, you know, other things as well. But, you know, I don't want this to be an all-purpose deal, just like we saw with Ferguson, Missouri. The Pentagon, at least on the faces, were saying, well, you guys aren't supposed to use this for, you know, non-lethal situations where you're not engaging an active shooter or something like that. You can't go out there and bully a crowd of protesters, just like they bullied a crowd of protesters at Berkeley. You know, the guy comes out and pepper sprays everybody. You know, you're not supposed to do those things. So at least on the surface, they're saying that they don't want these police departments and these sheriff's departments to act this way, but they're giving them the equipment to do it. So when I see things like San Diego or Ohio State, I'm very concerned as to why these guys think they need such weapons to combat a school population. Because it's not just the weapons, it's the training that these guys receive. And we see this story, cops brutalized teen girl over cell phone.
The video captures the screams of Ixel Perez. She's pinned to the hallway floor of Sam Houston High School. One officer handcuffing her, the other has his knee on her head.
It was embarrassing.
This is Perez today, all 4'10", 70 pounds of her. Outside the school, she says she will not attend anymore.
And the issue about this is that this type of thing is not an isolated incident. These aren't some row cops, some dirty, hairy types. The issue is that these guys are being trained like this, whether it's a 70-pound schoolgirl with a cell phone or whether it's a, you know, a 6'6" guy with a machete. They're trained to do the same thing. Get the guy on the ground, put a knee on their head or in their back. Like I did the story last week about the SWAT teams engaging some guy in a swatting prank, I guess you would call it. And I don't blame the SWAT team for responding to the issue, because you get a call, you don't know if it's true or not, so you got to send your boys in. I understand that. But they come in, they put a gun to the guy, get down the ground, put a boot in the guy's back, you know, stay down there, boy, and all this stuff. And they have no idea who this guy is. You know, and, you know, this thing could happen to you. You know, whether you're in school or some other thing, you encounter a SWAT team or, you know, some overly aggressive officers who have been trained to act that way. And then, you know, they're asking you all the tough questions. Who are you? What are you doing here? And you have no idea why they're there, so you can't even answer their questions. And that's the problem with the militarization of the police, about the brutalization of the police. Not all police are bad, but you have to change these very bad policies. And it's September 11th, so we have to address the 9/11 attacks. And instead of regurgitating the talking points that you see in the mainstream media, I have a few hard-hitting questions and statements I'd like to make about September 11th before we go into more special reports. Now, let me be very clear. These things I'm going to bring up here, these aren't definitive, he did this or she did that. That's not what I'm getting into today. I just want people to think about these very basic, rudimentary things that do not get a whole lot of attention nowadays, you know, 13 years later. Because I was watching the Alex Jones show earlier today in the Overdrive segment, and Leanne McAdoo was out there, and she said there are so many children out there who are either, you know, not born, or, you know, they were too young to remember the attacks at the time that they happened, and they just believe the official story, hook, line, and sinker, no question about it. So I want to question some of these things here today. And like I'm saying, I'm not saying Dick Cheney blew up the Pentagon. I'm not saying George Bush blew up the Twin Towers with a plunger like Wile E. Coyote. I'm not saying that at all. I just think that the government could have did more to lessen the blow, or even completely prevent the blows of September 11th. And let's start with that very point. It was reported by ABC News that NORAD ran drills on the exact scenario that happened on September 11th, 2001. And when I say the exact drill, I don't mean just an attack on the World Trade Center. I don't mean just a plane flying into the World Trade Center. I mean, those things combined happening on September 11th.
There were people in the United States who actually were preparing to defend against the kind of attacks which occurred here on 9/11. The North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD for short, has been defending the skies over the U.S. and Canada for almost 50 years, 46 to be precise. USA Today reports that in the 2 years before the attacks on September the 11th, NORAD conducted exercises using hijacked airliners as weapons. And one target was the World Trade Center.
And you say, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, NORAD is the group that scrambles the jets to intercept the jets, so why wasn't anything intercepted? Now, let's move on now to the Pentagon. And the Pentagon was a very questionable thing to me, because you think about the Twin Towers, right? So you've seen the Twin Towers from all different angles being hit by the planes, falling down. cameras on the ground, cameras up on top of other buildings and so forth. You've seen so many different angles. But with a Pentagon, you have one angle of not even footage of still images. I think it was, what, 8 still images that supposedly show, you know, whatever hitting the Pentagon. And yes, I do believe the Pentagon was hit by something. But, you know, when I think about a giant jumbo jet, you know, go to an airport, look at a plane if you've never been on one yourself. But you think about how they say the entire plane was sucked into this hole. No wings on the outside of the Pentagon, no wing indentions. They say the entire thing was sucked into this hole in the Pentagon and completely vaporized by the intense heat. But regardless of all that, the issue about the cameras, go to your local grocery store, go to the gas station, go to a mall, go to a movie theater, and count the number of cameras outside of that establishment. And now think about the Pentagon. Contrast this with the Pentagon, one of the most secure above ground structures on planet Earth. And all they can do is produce one camera angle of still images of some object striking the Pentagon. That's very curious to me indeed. You know, so that's not a conspiracy theory. That's what happened. You haven't seen any actual footage of that thing going into the Pentagon. And people will contrast that. They'll say, well, people saw, planes flying low through the city that day. I'm sure they did. But if I see a pack of wild dogs running down South Congress here in the city of Austin, Texas, and 10 minutes later somebody gets bit by a dog, that doesn't necessarily mean that the dogs that I saw bit the person down the street. Now, do you have probable cause to think it was the same dogs I saw? Sure. Do you have reasonable suspicion to think it was the same dogs that I saw? Sure. But you don't have definitive proof that the same dog that bit you was the dog I saw 10 minutes ago running around. That's something about the Pentagon. Now let's talk about Building 7. BBC reported that Building 7 collapsed before it ever collapsed.
Presumably there were very few people in the Salomon building when it collapsed. I mean, there were, I suppose, fears of possible further collapses around the area.
That's what you would hope, because this whole downtown area behind me has been completely sealed off and evacuated, apart from the emergency workers. That was done by the mayor, Rudy Giuliani, much earlier today, because of, course, the dreadful collapse of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. But New York, very much a city still in chaos.
So we talked about the Pentagon. We talked about Building 7. Now let's talk about the Twin Towers. And particularly William Rodriguez, who worked in the North Tower for over 20 years, he was saying he felt a huge explosion in the basement of the North Tower before the plane ever hit.
I worked in the building for 20 years. I was the person in charge of all the stairwells of the North Tower. And on 9/11, I had the only master key that opened the doors that rescued people. This is the master key. They call it the Key of Hope. And basically, I was a janitor. Like I said, on that day, there was an explosion on the basement. And this is prior to the building got hit by the plane. And then the plane hit, and then there was a series of explosions afterwards. And a person comes running into the office saying, explosion, explosion, explosion.
And to my knowledge, there is no official explanation as to why the explosion happened in the basement of the North Tower. And people may say, well, what does it matter because a plane hit the top of the tower? It matters because a big-ass explosion happened in the basement before the plane hit. And how did that happen? You know, what was going on that day? I would very much like to know. So if you want to know these things, you need to go to Infowars.com and also PrisonPundit.tv. Get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can check out the Alex Jones Show, the nightly news, the special reports, the rants, and so much more at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now stay tuned, because after this break, Darren McBreen will have a special report about the 28 secret pages from the 9/11 report, and also we'll have continued coverage from our crew on the ground in Manhattan. This is the InfoWars Nightly News.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
After the 9/11 attacks, the American public was told that Al-Qaeda acted alone. They told us that 9/11 was not state-sponsored terrorism, meaning no other country or government helped plan, finance, practice, and execute the complicated and well-orchestrated attack on our country. We were led to believe it was perpetrated solely by Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda network of radical Muslim extremists. The United States and its allies retaliated first by targeting Afghanistan, and then by launching the invasion of Iraq in 2003.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
But 13 years after September 11th, 2001, there are still questions about who planned and financed 9/11. And 28 censored pages of the official 9/11 report remain classified to this day as a matter of national security. But many surviving family members of the victims and a growing number of the American public aren't buying the Bush administration's original claim that the documents must be kept secret to help investigators hunt down terrorists. In fact, there has recently been a handful of lawmakers who have finally been able to get access to the protected 28 pages, and they are absolutely shocked at the level of foreign state involvement in the attacks.
This is sort of shocking when you read it. As I read it, and we all had our own experience, I had to stop every couple pages and just sort of absorb and try to rearrange my understanding of history for the past 13 years and the years leading up to that. It challenges you to rethink everything. And so I think the whole country needs to go through that.
I want those documents declassified. I'm embarrassed to be associated with a work product that is secret.
Now, federal law forbids these guys to publicly identify which foreign entity was responsible in assisting the terrorist. But judging by the long history of the Bush family's close and personal relationship with the Saudi royal family, all evidence points to Saudi Arabia. And now a bipartisan bill has been sponsored by Congressman Walter Jones and Stephen Lynch, asking President Obama to release the classified records. Yeah, well, don't hold your breath. The new boss is the same as the old boss. Former Senator Bob Graham, who co-chaired the joint Senate-House investigation into the September 11th attacks, he says, "I am convinced that there was a direct line between at least some of the terrorists who carried out the September 11th attacks and the government of Saudi Arabia." He called it a smoking gun and went on to say the reason for this cover-up goes right up to the White House. Meanwhile, the New York Post says the Saudis deny any role in 9/11, but the CIA in one memo reportedly found incontrovertible evidence that Saudi government officials, not just wealthy Saudi hardliners, but high-level diplomats and intelligence officers employed by the kingdom helped the hijackers both financially and logistically.
What do we know is in the 28 censored pages of the 9/11 report? People that have seen it said it would bring down the whole system.
I've met with and talked to multiple members of Congress who read it. They are convinced the American people needs to see it. It has to do with information which is not convenient to the White House, either White House, the Clinton White House or the Bush White House, and it has to do with an ally who essentially looked the other way and allowed a lot of support for these the terrorists who conducted the attack.
But just to be clear, this is what I've been told, that there was a cover-up, that Saudi Arabia was involved, and basically that's why there was a stand-down, because they didn't want to embarrass the Saudis, and that's why six of the 10 commissioners want it released. Is that right?
I can't confirm everything you just said, but I can confirm the Saudi is the name of the country which is being implicated, yes.
And do you think it's going to be released?
I'm working with a number of members of Congress and doing everything I can to help behind the scenes. I hope that they do. I know there's a coalition right now trying to get it released, Alex. I hope they get it released.
That's right. You're working with Walter Jones of North Carolina and Stephen Lynch of Massachusetts.
That's correct, yes.
Well, you guys don't need to fly on any small planes, I'll tell you that.
That's true.
Wow. So the question is, if members of the Saudi government did in fact help train and finance the hijackers, wouldn't that make 9/11 more than just an act of terrorism? I mean, that would make it an act of war. And I think we can all agree that the classified documents no longer, if ever, pose a risk to national security. I guess you could say they do pose a risk to George W. So what are you afraid of, Bush? Why don't you and Obama get together and release the documents? After all, you're either with us or you're with the terrorist.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there, and I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High-quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water. Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Leanne McAdoo reporting for InfoWars.com here in New York City, just across the street from the 9/11 Memorial and Museum, waiting for the ceremony to get over. The plaza itself will be opening up at 6 o'clock for the public, but until then, all the protesters are once again corralled into a tiny pen. Now, this is New York City. This city is huge. There's plenty of room for people to congregate and to protest. But, of course, if you are exercising your free speech and you want to counter the official narrative, you're going to get squeezed inside of a pen. Now, later on today, we're going to be talking to some people out on the streets who aren't penned up inside to see what they think about this. What do they think about the fact that these people are out here challenging the official narrative? But like a good little slave, I'm going to go ahead and make my way over into the free speech zone so I can freely speak. But here in New York, it's a really lovely day for liberty out here. People are being very responsive. They're incredibly open to this message. And people are, you know, it's been 13 years. People have been standing strong, protesting for 13 years, demanding truth, not allowing the reality of 9/11 to just fade into some symbolic memory. What do you guys think about the fact the first responders are not invited to the ceremony? Don't you think they should be honored?
I have no comment.
Well, what do you think about the fact that the flag at a federal building is not flying at half mast? Nearly 3,000 people died on this day 13 years ago.
Excuse me.
Free speech is alive here in America, but some people do not want to exercise their First Amendment, although I bet he has a very good opinion about all of this. Well, I'm going to make my way like a good slave over here into the free speech zone, reporting live here from the epicenter of where ISIS has said this will be their next terror target. Leanne McAdoo for InfoWars.com.
I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com in New York City, right down the road from Ground Zero, where Building 7 is, right over here in One World. We're standing at a federal building right now where they have not even put the flag at half mast. Once again, this is the 13th anniversary of the worst attack on American soil. Now, if Whitney Houston dies or Nelson Mandela, we'll lower the flag for that. But 3,000 people die, and then two wars are sparked, which kill thousands more people. We won't even acknowledge that. So let's go in and ask these people why they will not even give the people who died the respect to lower the flag.
Curious, this is a federal building, 3,000 people died. Why isn't the flag at half mast?
If Nelson Mandela, Whitney Houston, someone dies as a celebrity, you guys would put the flag at half mast. But this is the 13th anniversary of the worst attack on American soil. I find that to be extremely disrespectful and the most...
First of all,
especially when all...
We can't have the news. I understand that. We can't have interviews.
Well, it's not an interview. It's a straight-up
question.
Can
you explain the egregious oversight?
Come through, sir. How you doing?
But if some celebrity dies today, you guys will lower the flag for that.
We're going to...
You find that offensive that they're not even going to lower a flag at a federal building for 9/11?
Shouldn't it be at half mast? It was for Whitney Houston.
See, there you go. People here don't even care. It's sickening to know that something like this can happen.
Right across the street.
It's a federal building. People are supposed to... Our taxpayer dollars go to this place. What a joke. Our government, our country has literally become the biggest joke in the world.
Nice patriotism.
Get a real job.
Everyone is so afraid to just speak because they know they're being watched at every moment and everything they say is going to be held against them. They can't even speak for themselves.
That's the thing,
they were blubbering
that's
idiots.
That's the entire point of these attacks were, to put everybody in a state of fear, then impose this martial law, this police state everywhere. People are so scared. The CIA is watching the NSA. They own Google. They own everything you do. They know what you search. And then if you look for 9/11 truth stuff, and then when you speak out about it, they're afraid they're going to be persecuted, arrested, fired. And then, like you said, the president did say that he would be extremely transparent. There you go. Yeah. That's transparency right there. That's clearly saying to the world, look at me, I don't give a flying about what's going on. That is a joke. It makes me sick in my stomach. Joe Biggs, InfoWars.com.
That's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News, but be sure to stop by PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a 15-day free trial. It funds our operation. It allows us to send our guys to New York and other places. So be sure to get your membership there at PrisonPlanet.tv. Well, that's it for this segment. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.